to Friday. Let's just, all be black
trying to make this work.
Terrific intro.
Or Hagrid.
Hey guys, look, there's four of us again, and it's Friday. Four people on Friday. You like those rhymes,
Micah? Friday fours.
Fantastic Friday four.
I like it's the alliteration.
Welcome to Game of Bones, aka Goo. We are not an alliteration, but we offer all of the speaking opportunities for Micah.
Yep, so get ready. It's about to be 45 minutes of me.
I would listen to that. I think a lot of people that listen to our show would also do that. It's like a sleep timer almost. People buy alarm clocks for it, except
yeah, it's very
this is
soothing.
Free.
So I should do overnight radio?
It's like a velvety blanket. Yes.
Did you hear that, Micah? She called you a velvety blanket.
If she only knew.
We're coming at you, I was going to say live, but we're not live. We're coming at you through, you probably have a phone in your hand or you're listening to us through something that has a screen. I think we can all agree with that, right?
Yeah, no, that sounds about right.
Right. So you look on the screen and you maybe see the episode or maybe you see some news articles that you've been reading, or maybe you see the episode that we published on Monday that Kate joined us on for her first time ever on Game of Bones.
Yes.
I guess we're glad to have you back again on Friday.
We
didn't scare her away yet.
And the listeners didn't scare her away either. I think that it should be said that you guys really came out and like welcomed her super well, probably better than we welcomed her, honestly.
Absolutely. Thank you. I'm glad that we have these listeners who are so much nicer than the co-hosts of this show.
Just like in the world of Game of Thrones, all. Which we podcast about, somebody already wants to usurp you and take your place. Kate Appleby on Twitter said, listening to Game of Owns, can I be the next Kate on the podcast, please? I feel like you guys are talking to me. It's strange.
When you think about it, yeah, we're all a little bit Kate. I mean, think about it, right? Everybody's got a little Kate.
That's what I always say.
We have to go back.
Exactly. Yeah, see? Perfect.
If you're joining us today, it means that you probably had fun on our Monday episode where we talked about the Breaker of Chains.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this show in particular, it's so thick and it requires so much digestion that at first blush, everything's going to be quite a bit different than it is 4 or 5 days down the road, which is where we are now.
It's like a hearty stew.
It is. It is. Yeah. You know, you want to savor it for a little while.
Rabbit
rush
stew.
To that stew? No way.
A nice brace of conies.
Let's go get some rabbit stew after done
what's
recording.
Taters, precious?
So. I really like the couple of days to reflect. It's like a reflection period where you can go back and you can rewatch the episode if you so choose. But I really did think, though, on Monday's episode, we went pretty in-depth on most of the scenes that were in that episode, whereas I think the week before, a lot of the focus was on the purple wedding, mm-hmm. and rightly so. Mm-hmm. It did take up a large majority of the episode, but I thought with episode 3, we really did go pretty much scene by scene, and there was something in particular in the episode 2 weeks ago now, the wedding episode, and it had to deal with Bran.
Yes. Yeah.
And
yes, of course.
I saw a lot of comments about how we didn't really take a lot of time to go through Bran's vision and to talk about what exactly did he see and what does it mean for the viewers and what does it mean for where he's going.
I'm glad that we were able to get into so much Sunday night because it did give us an opportunity to follow up on this Bran stuff, which I think that, you know, everyone understands the reasons why on Friday's episode back last week, we didn't necessarily go into it because so much has been happening with Joffrey and a lot happened from that scene in this episode. But particularly Bran's visions are probably what's going to end up being some of the biggest things we talk about when the season's finished.
Definitely.
And not only that, but there was a really good interview with him post-episode where he got asked a lot of questions that he was hesitant at times to fully explain the answers to.
Shall we watch it together?
Let's revisit it in the land of imaginary dreams together.
I never noticed the dust in the air.
It's snow
or
dust.
Snow.
Beautiful particle effects.
It's stardust.
Don't touch it.
This is the shot, guys. Ah, the Undertaker.
Now that's the crypts, right?
Yeah, that's the crypts under Winterfell.
I know that sword. I know that eyeball.
Eyeball. Yep, that's a Sean. That's a Sean Bean ball, if I ever saw one.
Uh huh.
Bean ball.
A bean ball.
Now that tree had its mouth open.
Yeah. Beneath the tree. A dead horse. Iron throne.
That throne room.
I know, it's so creepy. He falls down. Dragons! Oh, yep. Ooh. Dragons. Oh. He falls
there
again.
He falls even faster.
Wow.
Nice, nice. Got some chills rewatching
and they're
that.
Like, what the heck just happened?
The first thing that we really see, aside from him touching the tree, is the three-eyed raven, right, in Winterfell?
Mm-hmm. Just before that, there's a small little second in which it's not quite the raven yet, though.
And what do you see?
We see the tree. We see the tree, and there's the camera is going through branches.
Okay, so we assume that's the tree where he's looking to go.
Right.
Somewhere in the north.
And that tree is shown again and again. It appears to be in a vast winter wasteland. Or wonderland.
Does it not feel like it's going almost chronologically through what we've seen from the beginning of the TV series? I feel like we've got, you know, the crypts. I'm thinking of Robert and Ned going down the crypts together.
Yeah. It's really cool reuse of footage because they show, obviously, the throne room with the ceiling caved in and snow.
Right.
From Danny's sort of on the show, the House of the Undying sequence. So it's really kind of clever because it's kind of, it brings those two characters together that they both sort of saw the same thing.
Very true.
And it may be from a different angle that they didn't quite use the first time around. Same with this Ned shot. Like, I really don't think they keep calling Sean Bean back. Like, we need a close-up on your eyeball, your beanball.
No, I think this is, so it shows a scene of the sword being sharpened, and then it cuts to Sean Bean, what looks like him in the dungeons in King's Landing. So I think this is just before his death.
But like it feels like we've got, you know, the crypts, we've got the three-eyed raven, just because it needs to be in the beginning, obviously.
Right. that sort of links all of his dreams and all of his visions.
Well, he's guiding him through what he's seeing, I guess. That's sort of what it feels like in the show, at least. But right. He's sharpening ice, and I remember he was taking care of ice after he took care of the deserter. In the first episode.
Yes.
I just feel like so much of this is familiar. I mean, obviously it's recycled footage. We've got the same snow time lapse that we saw in season 2, I believe.
Oh.
Wow, good memory.
And then we've got, you know, the tree, which is new, I don't know what to say about this. We didn't talk about it a few weeks ago. So much was happening with Joffrey, but this is the stuff, you know? This is the future stuff that I just don't know. I don't have anything. I'm just scared.
It's children of the forest, right? They're supposed to be in the trees, and there's the Godswood, and the Godswood always has these trees with red leaves.
Yeah, it's clearly matching the art style of the tree that Bran works through, but you can see the golden shine of the sun that's reflecting off of the leaves on Hodor's face when he's behind him.
Right.
And that is very much happening in this frame. We've got the same sort of blue and golden color temperatures being mixed together. So I think they're meant to be linked, and obviously they're the same type of tree, but this one's much bigger.
Right.
It's almost like going through a warped time machine because he's going to the past, but then you also feel like he's seeing bits and pieces of the future. And with Ned, the interesting thing for me is that he's actually seeing his father in ways that he would never have the ability to see him.
That's true.
Because he was at Winterfell when Ned lost his head.
Well, it's like Jojen says, too, with the green sight, that it goes both directions in time. So Jojen references having seen with his own eyes the battle at the Fist or the battle at the Trident, you know, and things like that. And it's kind of like, again, the show has, like, refrained from doing flashbacks before. But this, in a way, is its own form of flashback because you're seeing Ned alive and he's not.
Right. So the question would be, how is he seeing these things? You know, there's a lot of different sequences here, too. There's a shot of what looks to be that young girl that we see in the opening scene in the first season, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who is this?
This might be something that comes to me from sort of other literature, but in the Ender's Game sequel, Speaker for the Dead, and the sequel to that, Xenocide, they communicate with trees. And the cool thing about that is that trees live for centuries. And so if you have a tree with a spirit or a mind, it can share these bits of history. And so if you can communicate with the tree, if there's a spirit of the tree or in the tree, they have existed so much longer than humans. And so they can store these sorts of things.
Need to play
it's just
Zelda.
Kind of really cool to
so
see that.
So are you saying in some instances, though, it's almost like Bran is seeing through different trees, right? He's seeing different events that are taking place in the past, and he's seeing them through the eyes of possibly different weirwoods that are around, whether it be north of the wall or in other places. It just seems to me as if, you know, when he's seeing that shot of that young girl, that white, for I don't really know what else to call her, but and then he sees all those crows that are flying, you know, towards him, but that's almost the same scene that we see with Sam and Gilly when they're so running away.
And both of those shots could be from the point of view of a tree.
Yeah, I would like to think that. I mean, if he has the ability to touch one, why wouldn't he have the ability to touch all of them?
Well, and they're interlinked is the thing. They all get, you know, have roots in the earth, and maybe those roots even touch, you know, over hundreds of kilometers. It's really cool thought. So whereas you have like this possible god type scenario of spirits in the spiritual realm, you know, which is not linked to these trees specifically, you also have the possibility that just because that there was a tree somewhere physically that saw this, and that's why he's getting these visions. So it could go either way. It could be something that transcends time or something that's limited to as long as there was a tree around, that it absorbed this sort of memory or imprint or something like that.
Let's get into the science of things. Like, I want to know.
I have to ask you guys to go to 36 seconds, please, in this clip. Something really, really bothers me.
So you don't like undead horsies?
No, the undead horse. But then if you watch it from there, around 38 seconds after the throne, like really quick before the raven and before Bran falling, is that Zordon?
Rangers.
Yes.
Do you guys see this? It's like 38 seconds. There's like a crystal or ice sculpture.
Yeah.
And there's a face. There's a spiritual looking face.
Oh my God.
With like a holograph. It's definitely like Ivan Ooze has just come into the chamber and broken Zordon free. And he's like going to die now. Can you please explain it, Micah? You know what this shit is.
Goldar flies in.
Rangers. This is future. This is not something we've seen
the
before.
The way that I paused it, though, it looks like the Tiki God from MTV Spring Break back in the day.
Yeah. Well, the way I paused it, it looks like the Gibdo mask from Majora's Mask.
I think we're all dating ourselves.
Mine was Zod. I was sure it was like Fortress of Solitude. Zod. Yeah,
that is interesting. I don't know if it's just a trick of the light,
or one of
there's
those.
There's definitely a face in there.
Statues floating on Easter Island.
What if Game of Thrones is a prequel to Power Rangers? Think about it.
Angel Grove.
Think about it.
King's Landing.
Maybe they're all connected by a series of roots.
That's got to be somebody's
Alpha
catchphrase eventually. Yeah.
Hey, Rangers.
Well, yeah. You know, there's just some weird stuff that takes place beyond the wall, and it's better left to either our imaginations or watching how this all plays out the rest of the season, because undead horses, zombie horses, I don't know what else to call them. Half flesh torn off their face horses.
Zorses?
Look,
can we just agree to call them Zorses?
Zorses, yeah.
We talked on last episode how you don't want to be a horse on this show, and this continues to prove that. But there's actually a really quick scene towards the end of the trailer for Sunday's episode upcoming, and I think it shows a scene that is kind of related to both the horse that we see here as well as this reflection that we're seeing at about 40 seconds into Bran's vision.
Maybe this might be a little bit nitpicky, but I'm wondering what the transition between the crows flying at you at around 33 and the next shot of like the mid-afternoon sun behind the tree at 36. There's this weird like wicker basket transition there. What the hell is that?
Well, that's the same thing that happens right at the front, right before the raven. It's like going through the branches. Some guy got really crazy with the handy cam and was just, they have a really overzealous like second unit guy who impaled himself on branches. Like he came out with like 15 cuts on each arm.
Yeah.
Because he was just running at the trees.
Guys, I got all that branch footage you were after. Thanks, Joel. It's fine.
And just not to hurt his feelings, they had to use it for the dream sequence. They're like, where are we going to possibly use these branches? Extreme close-up.
I think that they just put them in there because they were like, we got the whole thing done, but we still have like a second and a half left. That's just whites.
Yeah.
They're like, put the branch in there, man.
They're really bringing the episode up to that 53 minutes.
He was like, but we used to branch it at 9.5. And he's like, just mirror the clip so it goes the opposite direction. He's like, got it.
It's earthy. It's woodsy. It fits thematically.
One other thing I want to talk about with Brand's vision before, I guess, we kind of move on to more of the stuff that we talked about in Monday's episode or follow up from that, is Bran actually falling? Because now he's clearly seeing what's happened to him, and that's not something that he's remembered up until this point. And part of what I have a problem here with as a book reader is that he doesn't remember who pushed him from the tower.
Right.
And he does remember that in the books. So I don't know if eventually they'll get to the point.
He's seeing himself fall, which has to be trippy, you know, because if this is really his vision, then he's seen his point of view. He's seen the point of view of the ground. I think the problem is that, or the narrative thing is that he's too far away to really do anything about it. Even if he does remember that it was Cersei and Jaime fucking, you know, who then pushed him out the window, what's he going to do about it? Like, his journey, he's only getting further north away from everybody. And away from the politics, away from King's Landing, away from everything that's happening. And so what could he possibly do with that knowledge?
It's cool, though, how as soon as he hits the ground, it changes to a shot of a dragon flying.
That's cool.
Is it cool or daunting? I just can't help but to look at this and think Game of Thrones, the big hit TV show franchise that so many people enjoy and that people make podcasts about in their free time. We're going to go ahead in season 4 and just put a shot of a dragon flying over King's Landing because this will happen, people. Do you think it's just a big misdirect? Because to me, it almost feels too obvious.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. But same with that shot of the snow in the throne room, right? That's just kind of, it's something that we enjoy watching because it's cool. Or
snow?
Enjoy seeing because it's cool.
Or ash.
Yeah, with the ceiling cave.
I can't discern between the two, honestly.
It could also be ash. I think you said that when it first aired, and I think that was brilliant.
Sure. But
either way, it's the same type of shot, right? It's a distant possible future, and it's in there for to only be sort of thematic and not, you know, really to indicate that anything's happening soon. I see what you're saying though, Zach. Like, yeah, it's kind of annoying because that's probably the biggest for good reason. It's the slowest burn. Because once dragons get to King's Landing, do we really think anybody's going to oppose them?
The fact that the sequence goes from falling, and we know what happens to Bran after that, to him.
He learns to fly.
To him flying. Yeah, I thought that was interesting. And with a dragon, or at least in the shadow of a dragon, no less.
Yeah, I think it is interesting. And I was actually trying to remember, has Bran officially gotten word that there are dragons?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
But he may be young enough to believe Old Nan's stories, and according to Old Nan,
exactly.
They still exist.
Right. So I think that this vision is somehow, like, this is not just his recollection or things that have happened to him that he's translating into real life. I think he's actually seeing some shit that he would not know about otherwise. And I think that the snow on the throne, I want to believe, that's just me. This is a little fan service on my part, but I want to believe that the snow on the throne is just symbolism, and that's going to be Jon Snow on the throne. What?
That would be interesting.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, but if he's not actually Jon Snow, then would it actually be snow on the throne for Jon Snow? That's the thing.
Yeah. But these, you know what? Visions, they're hard to predict. You really don't know what's going to come. You kind of have to take what
you
get.
I think you're onto something, though, because so much of that vision that we saw, we've been sitting here this entire time considering it. Okay, well, this is going to happen in the future. So much of it was stuff we've already seen. What if he's seeing a raven's eye view, three-eyed raven's eye view of something that happened? Yes. I mean, you know, something. Maybe he's not the one casting the shadow.
It's a great point. And
I'm seeing we could be seeing something that happened at King's Landing a long time ago.
That's true.
One of the questions that I referenced earlier, in the interview with Isaac Hempstead Wright with Thronescast, was, do you think Bran could ever warg into a dragon? And I had never thought of that before, having read the books and everything else. And he just kind of sat there for a little bit with a little smirk on his face and then said, well, I don't really remember what he said, but it was along the lines of possibly. His high-pitched voice.
Man, I have goosebumps now, you guys.
Now, it's just like those things where you get a good interview question and everybody else is all of a sudden like, that has to happen. Now right. that you asked that question and brought it to life, it has to happen.
Right, and that's infamously what George R.R. Martin will react to. I feel like he knows all the theories. He's like, none of your theories are correct, so he just has to keep coming up with new ones. So we have to keep this on the DL, is what I'm saying. Don't mm-hmm. tell anybody that you want Brandon Worgen to a dragon, because if you do and George gets wind of it, it's not going to happen. So nobody tweet about this. Don't publish this on your little blogs. Don't do any of that. Just
you have to make him
quiet.
Think that it was his idea.
Exactly. You got to inception that thing right into that man's brain.
Let me think. How do we do this?
How do we incept him?
I think that Bran should warg into goats, don't you guys?
Yes. Anything but dragons.
Yeah. If he warged into a dragon, that would be stupid. I think that they shouldn't put that in the show at all, ever.
I think he should focus on doing people more often. You know, he did Hodor.
Yeah.
Hodor was a good first step,
yes.
But really, what does it matter which king sits on the throne if you got Bran there who can just warg into them and make all the decisions
Dang.
For them?
There you go. You solved the whole series, Eric.
That might be even better than the dragon, actually.
That's better than a switching spell. I think so.
Do you think it's symbolic at all that he falls again after that dragon scene? He falls from the tower, you see the dragon shadow over King's Landing, and then you see him fall again.
I'd like to think that most of these shots were very well thought out. I'd like to think that
yes.
they had so much information behind how exactly the shot should be from this perspective because it meant this, and this is how
it was
we did
George,
Bran's
right?
shots.
This was his episode.
I think it'll be interesting following the rest of Bran's journey, although I think it's pretty clear that we know where he's going, a large tree with red leaves mm-hmm. and an orange glow right behind it. So,
yep, lots of rocks.
Right. He knows where to look. It's like, have you ever seen City Slickers, the hand that points the way?
Yeah.
Is that the hunt for Curly's gold? Or that's
well,
that, you're talking about
that is no that no that is the hunt. Wait, the,
I think that's City Slickers.
The second one is the hunt.
Yeah, the second one's the hunt, and there's the pyrite in the cave or whatever.
Speaking right. of Bran, though,
yes, Bran.
We
yes.
did get a cool tweet from one of our listeners, Eric. You are our Twitter master, so I leave this to you.
No need to throw it over to me. You were going just fine there. You had it almost, you had the username almost out of your mouth. You know what it is? Micah got intimidated by this username. Let me shoot through this real quick. You're right. I am the master.
You are the Twitter master.
Lowercase x, capital X, open parentheses, capital S1, /\, /\, 30 %/ close parentheses, capital X, lowercase x, at the Fire of Belden on Twitter says, guys,
beautifully
I think
done.
I found, guys, I think I just found Bran's theme song. It's perfect. It is Arcade Fire's cover of the song, My Body is a Cage.
Mm.
So we do want to thank at the Fire of Belden, a.k.a. lowercase x, I'm not doing that yet, for sharing that with us.
Well, the Fire of Belden wasn't the only one who tweeted in. We did get several owns from listeners out there via the Tweety Bird. Isn't that right, Eric?
That's right, Micah. And now's the portion of the show where we do discuss some of the things that happened in episode 3 of Game of Thrones, just sort of going off, piggybacking off the stuff we talked about on Monday's show. You know, I would like to start here with an email that we got from Kate Appleby. Kate, this is the Kate that wants to take your place on the show. Kate says in the email, this is an own, my own for last Sunday's episode, goes to the Hound for his lovely dinnertime prayer. Also, it's interesting to remember that the Hound, while not a religious man, named his horse Stranger after the deity. Now, I didn't know that little particular fact about the Hound's horse. I'm sure it appears in the books sooner or later at one point. But do we think that that's because the Hound is particularly religious, or the Stranger is really the odd one out in terms of the seven, isn't he? The Stranger's the one who the Hound, even at dinner, is like, we hope the Stranger doesn't come and cut our fucking throats.
Mm-hmm.
It's the weird one, right? It's the one that is the least known, and it really is an allegory for
the Hound. Well,
nobody
prays to him. I think that's the thing. There are probably some people like smugglers and pirates and murderers and cannibals, but it's not really like on the positive side of the deities, I don't think.
So the Stranger's kind of that thing you can't control, though, in life. So it is kind of fitting for the Hound, I think.
But I mean, also, at least we know he doesn't completely hate naming everything. He still names a living thing his horse, the Stranger.
That's true.
He the Stranger
totally
is also a song by Billy Joel.
There you go.
Trolling.
Well, Todd K also wrote in to us, who says the Molestown brothel owns Frugality for washing and reusing their condoms.
Oh, this, wow!
I feel like this took like an eagle eye to notice.
We got a timestamp here. Apparently, at 31 minutes into the episode, you know, we have this. We may have been accused of having razor sharp vision at times before while recapping shows. but I give the own to Todd Kay here.
Yeah.
For seeing that was just something that was happening. Clearly wasn't the focus of the episode or the focus of the scene, which occurred in Molestown, but somebody in Molestown was doing that in the background, and that is great mise-en-scène.
Todd also let us know that Kate owns the sexiest voice on the internet.
I don't know. I think that honor might go to Micah today.
Yeah, Mr. Velvet Blanket.
Yeah.
You know, guys, we've read some emails, but one thing we don't always make sure to read is some owns that have appeared to us recently on the Wicknet comments. And I have two of them that I've collected for this episode. The first one coming from Valerian Plastic, who says, "My own goes to Danny for
that
in
the condoms?
Yes!
Folded
50 times.
Sorry.
Just like ice. My own goes to Danny for that ingenious bit of psychological warfare with the barrels full of slave collars and chains. Plus, I probably won't be giving her many others as the plot progresses." Uh-oh, okay, whatever. Also, Jack Gleason gets an honorary own for staying still as a statue for that entire 8-minute scene. Yeah, I wanted to ask that on Monday's episode. That clearly wasn't like a model, right? Like, that's just totally Jack Gleason has to stay still as a board.
Yes, I was also very impressed.
And that must have brought on, I know there's been an article or two where I think it was Nikolai was like, yeah, that whole scene we were just breaking up laughing, but how awkward must Jack Gleason have felt that whole time? Because the scene's awkward to begin with. Also, Valerian Plastic said that they're glad they carried over the funeral customs from the very first episode with John Aaron and the painted stones. I assume he means over the eyes.
That's right. That's continuity right there.
Another Wicknet comment comes from John M.W., who says, "Great podcast, guys. It was nice listening to a well-tempered and balanced discussion of the episode. Not a lot of that going around today. Loved Kate's contributions as well. Hopefully she'll stop by often." And, oh, this one's to me. "Eric, you were almost in my good graces today until you dumped cold water all over the phenomenal Tyrion / Podrick scene."
Damn,
okay, let's talk
right.
about that again, guys.
Let's do.
There was a wonderful tweet, because Pod brings in all this stuff, including duck sausage, whatever that is. It's not duck sauce. we talked about before duck sauce on the show. Duck sausage. The Twitter, the tweet we got is from Lee at Rory Pond. And mm-hmm. It says the Pod gets the own for smuggling a Whole Foods to Tyrion's cell.
I like that.
That's true.
I thought that was fun.
Thanks, Rory Pond.
But Tyrion and Podrick, guys, it's the end of the week now. Do you feel like a lot is at stake with that? Will Pod escape? And will Tyrion continue loving him? Mm-hmm. Does absence make
yes.
the heart grow fonder, or will he forget about his loyalist squad?
I think they'll be together one day.
If you read the episode descriptions, you learn a little bit about where Pod is headed and what he's going to be up to.
Oh,
but
no.
We won't do that because we're spoiler free.
Is he an escape pod?
But no. People.
Oh, no.
Well, I think it's time for Kate reads the tweets in however long it takes her or less.
Read all these tweets, Kate. Go for it.
Oh, man.
She's got such a sexy voice. So.
Guys, yeah. I'm going to do this I'm going to do my best Micah impression. Chase Matronga, C. Matronga 30, says, "Money buys a man silence for a time. A bolt in the heart buys it forever." It's a quote from Lord Baelish. I didn't do it quite as creepy because what is that? Like, money buys a man silence for a time. A bolt in the heart buys it forever. That's my best Lord Baelish
impression.
Then
you need to sniff, everybody. Sniff like you're
that
sniffing
was pretty
something.
Good. I'm
yeah,
creeped out.
I know. I need to like look her up and down really creepy.
Yes. I'm creeped out for Sansa.
Thanks. Perfect.
From what you just did.
Oh, thank you. Alex Minufar at Suddenly Zoo Bat
Suddenly.
Says, "Give a man a fish, feed him for a day. Give a man a poison fish, feed him for a lifetime." That's true.
That's true.
That's very true. Chase Matrenga again. He says, Podrick for King. I 100% agree with that.
Hashtag Podrick 2014.
Hashtag Podrick 2014. Donovan McFlab at Wheeler Sucks. That was a fun name. Donovan McFlab says, my own goes to Oberyn for owning hashtag dad ass. That was quite the butt close up. I'm going to go ahead and agree with that one. Jill at Bowski 477, own goes to Davos for his smuggling pro tip. Hashtag you're doing it wrong. Davos. Matt Hatter at Mattersley says that Molestown worker owned that sheepskin prophylactic. Apparently, yeah, we're just the only people who didn't notice this.
We missed the condom.
Abraham Bacon.
Abraham Bacon.
Abraham Bacon trademark at Party Pig. Pod owned our hearts. Yeah.
Very true.
He did. Ida Askov at Forever a Star Kid. Steer Badass Magnar Thin owns everything all the time. Hashtag Cray Cannibal.
Best hashtag so far tonight, I think.
Pleased with people's Twitter handles and their hashtags this week.
I think we should have Eric read the cool posts from listeners on Facebook. What do you think, Eric?
I will take that challenge, Kate. We do ask fairly often that you scrawl upon our wall, not just owns, but as well interesting things as well. From Chelsea Wilson, and she says, this really had me laughing my butt off. This is a diagram. Now, Micah, maybe you can shed some light on this. It's a diagram she shared that has Show Dario on one side and Book Dario Naharis on the other side.
Yeah, I saw this actually when she posted it to our wall.
Can you talk about this a little bit?
Well, basically, they're saying that they're not the same person. That's... And not just because he's been recast.
Zach, do you see how gleeful the book Dario
was?
Quite
the colorful character.
They always describe him as having like a purple goatee or like a braided beard all the way down to his chest. He's got like rain. He really does have a different color of hair every time Danny sees him in these books.
And he wears like a different color sock and he has different color leggings.
That is not an exaggeration. He's wacky. In the books. And this Dario, I keep seeing him on screen and being like, who is that character? Oh, that's Dario. Okay. He's kind of hot. But in the books, you're like, why is she interested in this crazy mofo? He's insane. He does. He looks like a glorious rainbow angel.
So her interest
in
him is legit, like totally comes over from the books, but he's kind of more worth a girl's fancy in the show.
Yeah. We don't really have any interest for him in the show yet, though, do we?
I mean,
does she like him?
I think she does. I think his wink in this episode, which we talked about, I think, and even in the last season, I thought
yeah,
they were totally going to
after
do it.
Yes.
They free young Kai.
When he drops off the heads in front of her and like lets them roll out, she's like,
But it's kind of like those characters like, say, Patchface, for instance, which is kind of quirky, kind of really friggin' weird.
Right.
And they have important things to add to the overall story, like Patchface has many references to gods and things, but ultimately it's a little too weird or a little, it just had to be consolidated or shaped down. Marjolaine S. Mooney shared with us a link from Slate.com where you can apparently mourn dead, that's M-O-U-R-N, remember we talked about that on Monday, where you can mourn dead Game of Thrones characters at their virtual graveyard.
That sounds perfect.
I have to click on this right now.
It's pretty morbid. And who's winning? Rob Stark gets a lot of flowers. Okay.
Who's got
that's
the
fair.
Leave a flower for a fallen character.
Yeah.
Oh, from, this is Ned. Written by Kate Blair, another Kate on the internet. There are so many
There's
Kates
so
on the
many
internet.
Of us. I know. It's like Highlander. I got to do battle with all of them. Ned Stark looks like he has the most flowers. Good job, Ned Stark.
Yeah.
40,995
flowers.
For the 6,000 people who laid flowers at Micah's grave, that's
Miri
Mazdori
got shit. Neither does Lami, for that matter.
Miri Mazdori, man, she said some crazy shit when she was getting burnt by fire. What didn't she?
She was a babe, though, wasn't she, Zach?
Oh, yeah.
Who has the fewest? Orel. This goddamn eagle. Or hawk, or whatever the hell.
No, Craster, all the bad guys don't have many flowers. I'm glad. You know, for the 14,000 or 1,400 people who left flowers by the tickler.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Yeah. Pyat Pri, also pretty low, 1,300. I feel like this is cool. So you can actually leave flowers for your dearly or not so dearly departed Game of Thrones characters. I hope that this continues to be updated. Of course, the Game of Thrones graveyard's tagline is "All men must die." I feel like that's fairly written to be included in that way. Made to be abused. And it looks like there are some ravens above some of these graves.
Yeah, here. Those are the
grave ravens.
The Night's Watch, yeah.
The ravens.
You if go. You would like to send us some interesting piece of Thrones.
Anything?
Yeah, basically anything, really. I mean, you can do so by scrolling upon our wall on Facebook, like Eric just shared, facebook.com/GameOfOwns. He also read some tweets earlier, so you can tweet at us at Game of Owns on Twitter. You can also email us. I believe he read a few of those. contact@GameOfOwns.com. And leave a comment or two or three or four on winteriscoming.net. We do read those from time to time as well. But you know what else there is, guys?
What? iTunes. iTunes.
Yes. iTunes. We did get a fair number of reviews here on iTunes over the last couple of days or week or so, and I'd like to share some of them with you, albeit very quickly.
Please do. I'm going to get tucked in my velvety blanket.
All right. First one here from Boot Songs. They say, "You guys rock. Writing this only to help you guys get more listeners and encourage you to keep going."
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Caribou. "These gents are a class act. For a refreshing take on all things Game of Thrones, this is my go-to podcast. Intelligent, insightful commentary make for fun and easy listening. Having been a fan of A Song of Ice and Fire series for a few years, I really appreciate this cast's fresh take on the material. Thanks, Game of Owns. This podcast owns my fangirl."
Heart.
Yep.
Heart.
Next one here from MP Sia. I feel like we've seen that name somewhere before. They just say, five stars. Nothing but a 5-star. And she actually included a star there. That's pretty impressive. Review will do. Probably didn't make a whole lot of sense to people, but there you have it. Lady Arya Stark says, "Bravos has to get my own," so we're throwing owns into reviews now. "Not shown on the map and no current character shown, but it's the most talked about place in Westeros." Very true.
There you go.
Ygritte owns Gilly, in my opinion, in regards to being a dangerous wildling. Come on, Gilly. You should know better.
Yeah, Gilly.
Another review here from Kyle, or could be Kylie. You never know. "Fracking fantastic podcast. These guys and girl are so good at what they do. Entertaining and informative. I am trying desperately to get up to date, but I'm still back in September of 2013. I listened to Goo while at work as a custom metal worker. I'm debating on making a crown."
Okay.
And two out of two listeners found this review helpful.
Well, won't she be surprised in a year and a half when she gets to the April 2014 podcast and hears the review read?
Right?
That's pretty cool.
Kyle, send us a photograph of your crown, please.
Two more reviews really quick. First one is from Way to Quit Way with the title Funny. They say, "Funny people with a lot of information, so thank you."
Oh.
Hmm.
And Bowski 477, which I believe we read something from them earlier in this episode, has this to say: "Hodor, Hodor, 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 Hodor."
Wise words.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I disagree.
That was very kind.
So if you would like to leave a review, just head on over to iTunes in the month of April. Nothing less than 5 stars is acceptable. Thank you.
That's it.
It's a Friday. Ready for the weekend, aren't you?
I'm welcome.
Ready. I saw him just peace out of the dock.
Did I?
I did.
Oh, Micah just peaced out.
If you people would do us a favor, could you go online to that website that Eric talked about before and leave us a few flowers for this episode? Because it's dead.
Cue the strings now.
See you on Monday, everybody.
Yeah.
Have a good weekend.
Looking forward to... Yeah.
Don't break any oaths.
Right?
Keep them. That's still a whole lot of times.
It is, if you think about it.
It is. That's quite a few.
All right, all right.
You know, I wonder if... Oh, there he says it. He says, I know what we have to do.
He says, I know where we have to go.
There you go.
It says it in the title of the clip.
I was elected to lead, not to read. Does Billy Joel sleep inside Madison Square Gardens now? Because
it's
every
one,
day...
It's just a singular garden.
he doesn't have his own garden.
Does he sleep there? Yes, I think he does. He just plays there every night.
I get that. I get updates on Twitter from him every day. He's at Madison Square Garden doing another concert.
You guys, thank you so much for having me on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks, Kate, for joining us. Get the fuck off.
He's right there more often than the mouse,
Mr. Yeah. Velvet Blanket.
Evan.
You know, I just noticed that some...
This episode's going straight to hell.
Why does Zach have such a bad case of the giggles today? What is going on?
Guys, I swear to God.
The best points and the smartest things to say. And
wow. Is this because I called your voice a velvety blanket?
Maybe. But,
that didn't hurt your odds here.
I think that I don't know what I'm going to say. So...
And Aaron? Finally, my voice cracked. I'm becoming a man.